The following program is a production of Beach Booster Radio.
This is Victor Miller of Beach Business Speaks, where I am vocal for local business. Tune in every Wednesday at 10 a.m. and 8 p.m., then at your leisure on podcast, to get in the know of what Wasaga Beach has to offer. This is not your average talk show, and that I still apologize. Only on Beach Booster Radio, your truly local radio. Joining me today is Christina DePalma, our local paralegal. Welcome, Christina.
Hi, thanks for having me.
When I contacted you last week, you were really sick. You got bad, eh?
Oh, yeah. I had a terrible flu last week. Oh, I apologize if you hear a catch in my voice at some point.
It's okay. I was kind of coming down with something last week, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I totally felt with you, okay?
I think I caught it from my husband.
Oh.
You care for them and then you get sick.
Get rid of that bum. Okay, so welcome aboard, okay?
Hi, thank you.
Okay, joining me again is Christina DePalma. She's the paralegal in Wasaga Beach. She's with DePalma and Associates in Immigration, a full paralegal service. She's located at 2115 Mosley Street, inside the Wasaga Tax Accounting Building. Her phone number is 705-429-2401. And your office hours, Christina?
Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, but it's by appointment only in my office.
I got to ask you, what's the difference between a lawyer and a paralegal?
Good question.
Yeah,
I thought so. All the time. Pretty much everybody that comes into my office asks the same question. It essentially boils down to the areas that we can practice. So as a paralegal, my scope is a little bit more limited. So for instance, I can't practice in real estate and I can't practice in family law. That's a very big difference between a paralegal and a lawyer, as well as I can't practice in major criminal issues. So I can practice in anything that would be under $5,000 fine or under 6 months in jail. Anything over that, you would have to retain a lawyer. So basically, the difference boils down to the scope of practice.
Gotcha. But you can represent people in a small claims court for $25,000 or less, correct?
Yes.
Okay. She covers an awful lot, people. She can be your legal representation in all disputes in areas like the landlords and the tenants, acting for either the landlord or the tenant. Also small claims court cases for money owed and for if you're being sued. She also covers traffic tickets in court, and she's also an immigration paralegal.
Immigration consultant. Yes.
Okay. You also do commission documents.
Yes, I do.
Explain which ones. What are
Anything that needs to be sworn. So, for instance, if you are writing an affidavit for somebody that needs to go to court and they need your testimony, mm-hmm. I could swear that document. So it's anything essentially that you need to be in front of a licensed practitioner, a commissioner of oaths, and to say, I swear that this document is true, I would stamp that and sign it for you.
Okay. We're going to dabble in all of these later, people. You have a great service. You have a flat fee that's known to your clients right up front.
I do.
Can you throw me some prices?
Okay, well, I'll explain a flat fee known up front. So you come into my office, I do not charge anything by the hour. So I realized when I opened my practice that people were frustrated with the fact that lawyers and other paralegals charge by the hour.
Mm-hmm.
So when they get their bill at the end of the case, it's a shock to them.
Yeah.
Because they had no idea how much it was going to cost them. I don't know if a lawyer is going to take 2 hours to do something or he's going to take 20 hours to do something.
Right.
So I figured.
And then there's the extra costs added from the secretary, the faxing, and all. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If they pick up the phone for you, if they email you, anything, right? So I figured to make my business stand out a little bit, I would charge just a flat fee for everything. So you know when you come into my office, if you're starting a small claims court action, I list out all my fees. So, for example, if you're a plaintiff in small claims court and you need to draft the plaintiff's claim to initiate the case, it's $250 for me to draft that document for you.
Okay. Right?
You know it up front. You say, okay, great, it's $250. Perfect. What's next? Okay, next is filing at the courthouse. Filing that and filing the affidavit that I served the other side. $150 for that. So you would know these things all up front, and I go through them step by step by step with you. It's outlined in my retainer agreement, so those fees are set and they are agreed to between you and I. Mm-hmm. So those fees are not going to increase. The only thing that I can't tell you up front are disbursements. So, for instance, if I hire a process server to bring your document to the other side and serve it on them, to the opposing side, I know his general fee. I'll tell you it's usually about $50 per attempt, but his actual fee will be given to me and then charged back to you. No money is made on that for me. You're paying solely what his fee is.
Right.
But everything for me that I'm charging directly to my client, you know them up front.
Wow. So obviously there's different set fees
right.
for different presentations that you do.
Exactly.
Okay.
Small claims court fees will not be the same as landlord-tenant issue fees. Landlord-tenant issue fees will not be the same as a traffic ticket.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for your honesty.
Oh, I forget.
It puts people's peace of mind.
Right, they're already coming in.
And trust.
Yeah, exactly. And dealing with legal issues, I completely understand. It's hard.
Yeah.
You're coming in and you're in a state of mind where you're already frustrated or upset. I just like to be as honest and upfront with my clients when they walk in the door as I possibly can be.
Dealing with landlords and tenants, and they got disputes. What's the most common problem a landlord would come to you about?
Okay.
And what's the most common problem a tenant would come to you about?
I can tell you this with absolutely no uncertainty. The two are very distinct. Landlords will come to me because their tenant has not paid rent. Tenants will come to me because their landlord has not maintained the unit. Oh. It happens all the time.
It's always the same.
It's 9 times out of 10, it's one of those two things. It's very rare that it's something else. So usually a landlord will call me up and say, my tenant's late on rent. My tenant hasn't paid rent in the last X amount of months. What can I do? Or a tenant will call me and say, I have rodents running through my apartment because my landlord's not maintaining the unit. What can I do? Mm-hmm. Or I had a flood in my bathroom because my taps are broken. What can I do? Right? So it's usually either a landlord saying they're not paying me for rent, or a tenant saying that they're not maintaining the unit. 9 times out of 10.
Okay. Jeez. We're going to get back on this in a little while.
Okay.
The landlords and the tenants. Okay, people? Can landlords say no to people having pets?
No.
What if I rent to you and you don't have pets when I rent to you?
Right.
And then I find out a few months later that there are 2 or 3 dogs. What's going to happen there?
Unfortunately, you don't have recourse in that situation. It's against the Residential Tenancies Act to say no pets.
Oh.
Yes.
So
most people do it, right? Like, you see it on ads all the time. They say no pets. Unfortunately, you don't have any recourse when it comes to being a landlord if a tenant has a pet in there.
What if I got white carpets or off-white carpets, and I don't want their dogs in and out on a rainy day ruining my home?
I can understand that, and that's where damage
would
come in.
Do we have any recourse?
Yes, in that particular case, you would have a form of recourse. That would be talking about damage to the unit that's more than normal wear and tear.
Okay.
So if you have white carpets and somebody comes in with a dog, let's say a St. Bernard that comes in with wet paws, dirty paws, and they're ruining all the carpets, and then the person has to replace all of the carpets, the landlord's doing more work than normal wear and tear,
mm-hmm.
then you would have recourse. But in terms of getting the pets out or not allowing somebody to rent from you because they have pets, that's a no-no.
Even though they didn't have them when they first rented.
Yes, unfortunately.
Wow. Okay, I'm
even
sure
if
a lot of landlords want to hear this.
Yeah, even if they've lied to you.
Right.
And like they knew they had pets all along, unfortunately, yeah, it's against the Residential Tenancies Act to say no pets.
Okay, thank you for that. Traffic tickets.
It's a big one here in Wasaga Beach.
Yeah, talk to me about it.
It's a big one because we have the Provincial Offenses Court right here in Wasaga Beach behind the OPP's office. So unfortunately, it's usually speeding up here. That's what most mm-hmm. of the tickets are that I'm defending. speeding, careless driving, those kind of things. And it tends to spike in the summertime, mm-hmm. as you can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
And people from the city coming up here for a holiday or mm-hmm. a weekend,
yeah.
and they get a speeding ticket. What, are you really going to want to drive up here to fight your ticket a couple of months later when you get your trial date? So a lot of the times I'll have people approach me from the city and say, can you fight my traffic ticket for me so I don't have to come up here?
How much luck do they get in fighting that?
I would say that you do have a fairly good chance at getting your charges reduced if you fight them. And that's why I like to tell people...
Oh, you do have a good chance.
Oh, yeah, for definitely. Don't just pay your traffic tickets.
Oh, okay.
Go to court and try and negotiate with the prosecutor or hire someone like me to go and do that on your behalf. There could even be an error on the ticket, and that could possibly get the ticket withdrawn completely. But somebody that doesn't know, that just gets a ticket... pays it, they don't see those errors like I would. So they pay it and they go on with life. But if you had hired somebody like me who sees that error, brings it to court and says, excuse me, but this ticket is invalid. It has the wrong name on it, the wrong license plate number, the wrong postal code, something, the wrong section of the Highway Traffic Act, that charge is getting withdrawn. But you would have just paid it.
Okay, let's get this right then. So if there is any mistake on a ticket...
Not any. A major mistake.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
If there's a letter wrong here or there, they would just amend it and continue on. But if there's a fatal error on the ticket, the wrong license plate, the wrong section of the Highway Traffic Act, the wrong name. I've seen the wrong name be put on a traffic ticket. And even if there's nothing wrong with the ticket, you can go... and ask for the speeding to be reduced so the points are reduced and the fines are reduced. Who wouldn't want that, right? You don't want as many points on your record as you could possibly have.
Mm-hmm.
So take it to court and ask. Say, can I get it reduced from, 40 over to 30 or down to 15? You always have the option of negotiating with the prosecutor to see, can I possibly get the points reduced? Can I possibly get the fine reduced? And if you don't fight it, you don't have that opportunity.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a break, and I'll be right back with Christina DePalma from DePalma & Associates and Immigration, a full paralegal service located at 2115 Mosley Street, right inside the Waseca Tax Accounting. Don't go away. We'll be right back. There's a whole bunch coming at you.
Is your new or existing business looking for recognition in Waseca Beach? Beach Booster Group is your one-stop shop for all things local, all things promotional. Beach Booster will succeed in creating a complete local promotional package that can include high-profile outdoor, print, and radio promotion of your business and services. Beach Booster's community events offer additional opportunity for visible participation of your company in the Waseca Beach area. Beach Booster Promotions also specializes in all types of promotional products and apparel to help you create your local and professional profile. Contact us at info@beachbooster.com or call 705-241-9762. We are local. We are Waseca Beach. We are Beach Booster.
Okay, we're back, folks. Again, it's Christina DePalma from DePalma & Associates, the local paralegal in Waseca Beach, located at 705-429-2401. She's by appointment only, Monday to Friday from 9 to 5. Okay, let's get back into this now. We got a lot to go over.
Okay.
All right. Landlords and tenants.
Big issue here.
Yeah. What is the most common complaint to get someone out?
To get someone out from a landlord is going to be that they're not paying rent. That's the biggest one.
That's back to where we were before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Biggest one.
Okay, if they're not paying rent, as a landlord, what are my legal rights there if there's no lease?
This is where it gets a little bit tricky.
That's why we have you.
Yes. As a legal representation, I tend to always say, please get your ducks in a row. Please have things in writing.
Yeah.
Please have a lease. It protects both sides. But in terms of non-payment of rent, say their rent is due February 1st. February 2nd, if they have not paid, you can serve them with a notice of eviction for non-payment of rent. The termination date would be 14 days after that notice is given.
Are they 14 days?
Yes. If they pay the rent, then that becomes void. And they continue renting from you.
Okay.
If they do not pay the rent, they would get evicted. So it becomes an issue of just pay your rent on time.
Yeah.
Keep everybody happy. Have a nice relationship with your landlord and your tenant. And keep things kosher.
And that's with no lease.
That's with or without.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
No. Non-payment of rent does not change with or without a lease. Other things do. Other issues do change with or without a lease. For example, if the landlord wants to sell the home.
Okay. Right on. I was going to ask.
Another big one up here, because a lot of these smaller cottages are being put up for sale and people buying and flipping them.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a big issue with purchasing the home when there's a tenant inside. So if there is a tenant and you want to purchase the home, the current landlord would have to file an N-12 form. So it's a notice to give the tenant that the house has sold and the purchaser intends to live in the home, have an immediate family member live in the home, or somebody providing care to immediate family member living in the home. And I mean immediate family member. This can't be your cousin fourth removed.
Yeah.
This is you, your spouse, your dependent child, somebody, immediate family, right? If that does not intend to happen, somebody wants to purchase and either renovate it and sell it, continue to rent to somebody else, the tenant does not have to vacate the home. But here's where a lease comes into play. If there is not a fixed term tenancy, so somebody's renting month to month, the notice is 60 days. They give you the notice, the N-12 notice, you have 60 days. If there is a fixed term tenancy in place, so if you have a one-year lease, right? It has to be the last day of that fixed term. So if you're only in month two of your lease,
mm-hmm.
you've got till the end of your tenancy to move out. If you don't have a lease for a fixed term, you get 60 days. So you got to weigh your options as a landlord,
mm-hmm.
and you have to make sure the purchaser is aware that there is a tenant in the home, and does that tenant have a fixed term tenancy? Or do you want to continue having the tenant rent from you as the purchaser? By all means, great. The tenancy would continue. You would change, obviously, the legal documents for the landlord to become the new purchaser, but it would continue, and you can have the person continue rent from you. But you cannot give that notice as a landlord in bad faith. You cannot knowingly lie to the current tenant by telling them that the purchaser wants to move into the home when they don't.
It's kind of a catch-22, isn't it? So if I have a lease with my tenants, I sell or whatever, they've got till the end of that lease to be able to vacate.
Right.
And then if I don't have a lease, I've got 60 days to get rid of them.
Right.
So that's a win, but it's not a win if you don't have a lease, really. It's really like a catch-22,
isn't it? It is a catch-22, and it goes both ways for the landlord and the tenant. Do I want to vacate the property as a tenant? Is this maybe a way out? Is the relationship bad with the landlord, and they're saying, I'm selling the house, and that's great, that's a way out of the tenancy? Or do you really like living in that home, and now you're stuck with either 60 days notice or knowing that you're going to have to leave at the end of the term?
Right. I get an idea there where landlords that become landlords, especially in Wasaga Beach, because there's a lot of transient motion going on throughout this beach. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I really don't. But if you're going to buy a house and you want to keep it long term, that's when the lease should be put in place, correct?
Correct.
And then if you're buying a house to become a landlord, but you're not sure how long you want to be a landlord, it's best not to have the lease. Because you can opt out quicker.
In certain ways, you can opt out quicker, but not. It's not worth the risk of not having the lease.
Right.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
And say,
that's why I'm asking you, the expert.
When you come to me for any form of a case, small claims court, landlord, tenant, I love when people come to me with documents. I can go to a court or a tribunal and have it on paper.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to rely on word of mouth or a verbal contract, makes my job a lot harder. It's still doable by all means, but paper is king in a court or a tribunal.
Okay.
Have it written down. It protects all parties involved.
So landlords and tenants should probably document things.
Oh, yes, definitely. Date it. If there's issues that the tenant is having in the home, keep record of them.
Yeah.
Keep record if the landlord fixes it or if they don't. Always keep written
notes. How many
notes.
Times I had to call the landlord to do this.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Or if you have a nuisance tenant, how many times they're calling you for useless, like things that are just, they just want to cause a nuisance.
Right.
Right. Keep track of these things. Write them down. Write down the date. What happened. Come to people like me when you need help with all your ducks in a row.
Right.
If you don't, we can still help you by all means. But it's so much easier. It saves a lot of time.
Yeah, have the paper trail.
To have a paper trail.
Yeah. Make your job easier, too.
My job easier, I think.
Be able to assist them. Yeah, no, to yeah. assist them better.
And the court will look highly upon people that come with all their ducks in a row.
Right. So what's the tenant's rights about a landlord entering their premise?
Landlord, you have to give proper notice to enter your tenant's unit. That is 24 hours notice, and you can enter between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. But please, 24 hours written notice to your tenant and have a reason that you need to enter the unit. If tenants that are listening, if a landlord has entered your unit illegally, whether it be without notice, outside of the 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. timeline, that is an application you can make to the landlord and tenant board. That is an application about tenant rights for a landlord entered your unit illegally, and you have several remedies that could possibly be awarded to you in that situation, including ending your tenancy. So please keep that in mind. Landlords, don't enter your tenants' units illegally. Tenants, take action if they have entered your unit illegally. Come to see me and we could do an application about tenant rights.
Okay, now for the landlord's defense, what if they've done that and the tenant will not allow them to come in?
You need to allow the landlord. If they have given you proper notice and they're coming within the 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. time frame, save yourself the trouble. Just let your landlord in.
Is it allowed for a landlord to take a security deposit before the lease or during the lease or maybe at the end of the lease?
No.
For them to want to renew a lease?
No, definitely not.
So security deposits are not legal.
Correct.
Go on.
You take last month's rent,
yeah.
First and last.
Right.
That's typical. But landlords, if you are listening, that last month's rent is like the holy grail at the landlord-tenant tribunal. You cannot use that for anything other than last month's rent.
Oh, okay.
Do not apply that to fixing damage. Do not withhold that from your tenants. That is like held for them for last month's rent. And the tenant is entitled to the interest earned on that money. Okay, so keep in mind, please, any landlords listening, because I deal with this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Last month's rent is just that. Last month's rent.
Yeah, nothing to do with the security for damage.
Right. If there is damage, you need to deal with that at the time. You cannot take a security deposit from someone, from a potential tenant, to cover any potential future damage.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It happens all the time, but it shouldn't.
Tenants, should they not have tenant occupancy insurance?
You should, for your own protection. It's not something that a landlord can force you to have.
Oh, they can't insist?
No, they can't insist on it. However, for your own protection, you should have it. Personally, anytime I've rented, I've always made sure to have either, they call it tenants insurance or belongings or occupancy insurance.
Right.
Just for your own protection, I always encourage my clients to have that, but it's not something that a landlord can insist on.
Okay, now what about if a tenant is gone,
mm-hmm.
and then I find out 2-3 months later that they have not paid utilities?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen there?
That happens a lot,
as a landlord.
Unfortunately. Once a tenant moves out, for the most part, and not in every scenario, but for the general speaking, it is no longer the landlord-tenant board's issue. That would become a small claims court issue. And that's where...
So the landlord has to now go after them to take them to court.
Correct.
That's for the money owing.
Yes.
And that's where you come in again for dealing with the small claims court cases,
exactly.
Right?
Yep.
For owed money and money owing or being sued.
Exactly. So a lot of... I've had a few clients that were landlord and tenant clients that became then small claims court clients,
right.
Because...
Right.
The landlord-tenant board is no longer involved because the person no longer lives in the unit.
Oh, so
it switches
hands here now. Okay.
In general speaking, there are some issues that the landlord-tenant board still handles when the tenant is no longer in the property. But for general speaking and common knowledge, it would become a small claims court issue.
Okay. So there's different times for each to approach you.
Correct. For a small claims court issue, you have 2 years from the date of incident to file a claim. Any small claims court issue.
Okay.
So anything that arises that needs to go to small claims court, that's 2 years from date of incident.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I always advise to come in as soon as possible. Don't wait for that one, two year mark.
Things go
Your
amiss.
Memory
yeah.
is different.
Yeah. You might lose the papers.
You might lose the papers.
Yeah.
Just get it done as soon as faster. If you're suing, why wait a long period of time to get the money that's owed to you? Or if you're being sued, don't extend the period of time to defend yourself.
Right.
Right? Not everybody being sued is liable, right? So when they come to me and I look at a case and I say, like, wow, like, we need to defend this strongly because you are not liable in this situation. Or a plaintiff comes to me and says, this is what happened. What can I do? And I'm saying, well, you need to file suit today because you have a strong case, right? Don't wait that 2 years. You can, but I suggest not to.
This is a loaded show.
Oh, yeah.
We are on fire here.
I'm glad to talk about it because it's issues that are very prevalent here
in Sega Beach. There's a lot of people in this beach that probably could or should use your services. And if they've had some issues and it's still not 2 years up, they need to contact you.
I hope so.
I really, because I see a lot over social media.
Yeah.
And pretty horrendous.
And there
on both sides.
Exactly. And it I think it's important to note that it comes from both sides of any kind of case.
Right.
Whether it's landlord and tenant, small claims court, there's two sides to every story and then there's the truth somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
We need to find that truth. And whether that means somebody's owed money or somebody's owed a rent abatement for what's happened, you need to find that middle ground. And I see it here in Wasega Beach, and I urge people, stand up for the rights that you have, whether it's as a landlord, a tenant, a plaintiff in small claims court, a defendant in small claims court. Stand up for the rights that you have. Don't let somebody walk all over you and take it. This is what people like me and other paralegals do. Yes,
yeah.
You have rights. Please stand up for them because it will set a precedent for other people here in the beach or here in Collingwood, anywhere. Stand up for the rights that you have because you are entitled to them.
Right on. What is your website?
www.depalma.ca.
Everybody get that? Say it again, please.
www.depalmaparalegal.ca.
Okay, folks, this is a loaded show. If you know anyone that is a landlord or somebody is a tenant and they have some issues, they got some disputes, they need to go and see Christina De Palma. Christina, it's been a pleasure having you in.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for sharing all your knowledge.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for being so open about the knowledge. There's a lot of people that can use you in town.
I hope so. Give me a call.
On both sides, landlord or tenants.
My consultations are free, so it doesn't cost you anything to pick up the phone and give me a call or meet with me in my office to discuss the issues that you're having. There's no charge for that. So come on in. I'll tell you exactly what you need to know, and we'll take it from there.
Excellent. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, this was Christina De Palma from De Palma & Associates. She's a full paralegal service. Again, located at 2115 Mosley Street, inside the Wasega Tax Accounting. Her phone number is 705-429-2401. Contact her by appointment only. She's open Monday to Friday from 9 to 5. That's it. That's a wrap. Till next time, shop local.
The preceding program is a production of Beach Booster Radio, written, recorded, and produced in Wasaga Beach, Ontario. We thank you for listening to Beach Booster Radio, Wasaga Beach's only locally owned and operated radio station. We are local. We are Wasaga Beach. We are Beach Booster.
Hi, this is Brian Smith, Mayor of the Town of Wasaga Beach, and you're listening to Beach Booster Radio.